Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a few Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson, Rob Ensley, and Joey Pyburn on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft, and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson Chevrolet, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, Truck Vault, and Ray Marine Electronics.
Welcome to Hour 2 of The Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. That's Joey Pyburn, Rob Lindsay coming at us from the South Sound. I'm Tom Nelson. Matt Nelson back in our Seattle studios and on the phone. If you've been to the Everett Boat Ramp, you've driven by Harbor Marine. Harbor Marine has got to be the nerve center of the North Sound. And some of the stuff that goes on there during the summer with folks that are heading to the ramp for the first time is entertaining, but more importantly, educational. Lauren Bivens, Harbor Marine, joining us this morning. Good morning, Lauren. How are you doing, buddy?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing good,
We're
Lauren.
We're doing great, man. And when we talked yesterday, you kind of let me in on the fact that, you know, you're seeing a bunch of guys that want to get out on the water, and maybe they've picked up a used boat, and maybe that used boat hasn't been used in a while. And so certain things were sticking, snapping, breaking, whatever. But you kind of spotted a trend over the course of the summer. Why don't you tell us about it, buddy?
Well, there was a big push on people coming in, and you know, like you said, Tom, people were pulling stuff out of the weeds and trying to get anything out there to float. You have something to do, and fishing was that thing this year. So get out on the water, and so with that, one of those unknown things, you know, everybody's working on the motor and this, that, next thing, but they get out there and get down to the ramp, get backed in, and want to back up, and it backs up, but they can't turn the boat around because the steering cable's stuck. It's rusted shut and it's not going anywhere. So anyway, that seemed to be just, and then, you know, next thing they're down there, they're tied up, they're coming up the store trying to figure out what's going on and get a cable and throw it in there, and it wasn't what they were planning on doing for the day.
Yeah, and you hit the nail on the head. Folks get the boat all stocked up, they get their gear, they get ice, they get food, they get a whole bunch of friends, they get on the boat and they get broke down. And that is not a situation anybody really wants to enjoy. It. This interview is going to kind of kick off the our wintertime. You know what I hate about my boat series, mm-hmm. and so one of the things that with older boats in particular, hydraulic steering is kind of a new development, relatively, right? And before hydraulic steering, there were a lot of steering snakes, which is a solid rod that rolls through, and those things were notorious about freezing up. And the worst thing about them was, Lauren, the boat was steering you. How easy is it for a guy to replace and put a hydraulic steering system on his boat, and how can you help folks do that?
Well, it's an afternoon job. You could do it yourself. Probably the biggest challenge is just getting the oil bled out of the system. But, you know, if you've got a buddy to come over and help you with that and you get all set up, it's not that big a deal. And, of course, we could always help you to wring those things out, too. But putting hydraulic steering on just is not a daunting project as people think, and they come in kits. It's got good instructions, and it's just a bolt-up deal, and it just makes your life easy. Go back from that as you put the going down the waterway there, and you got to hang onto your wheel, and you don't dare, you know, even look backwards because you've got to keep that thing straight because it's all torqued up. The hydraulic system puts all of that away, and it just makes it easy. It's almost a one-finger type steering, and it's, you know, a completely different situation. But it's a huge upgrade, and one of those deals that gives you confidence that's something you don't have to worry about anymore when you're out boating.
Well, you go out and to enjoy yourself, and you go out to, you know, catch some fish, and you know, those old steering snakes, they pushed as hard on you as you pushed on them. And so you've got some C-Star Solution stuff. You've got kits down there that are available. I think one of the kits you're talking about is a Bay Star. That's an outboard, basically hydraulic steering system.
Right. If you've got a boat that's got, under 150 horsepower and you're not going over, you know, 50, 55 miles an hour top speed, then this kit could be for you. And again, it's a fairly simple thing to do. It comes with a hose, the fluid, the cylinder, the helm. You can bolt on your original steering wheel and just, you know, a few mods on the thing, and you're back in business again.
Hey, Lauren, as we get going on into winter here, folks are going to be storing their boats. And what's the best dehumidifier for somebody to put in their boat for the winter time? I mean, I know my boat in Alaska, I put some stuff in there, but it's nowhere near what it needs to be. What about a plug-in system? What do you got for folks looking to dehumidify their boat all winter long?
So we've got some store-dry units. We've got a couple of different brands. They basically do the same thing. The store-dry one has a nice low-speed fan in it. It does plug in. Mm-hmm. Hardly draws any power at all. But what it does is it just keeps a little bit of current of air flowing through things, just a little bit of heat differential, so you're not getting that condensation. And then, of course, if you want to put some like Drysy air crystals or no damp containers in there too to help absorb some of the moisture that might be out there, you got a perfect system. So, I mean, that's a real easy deal to do, to just have one of those in the boat. If you have more than one compartment, you got a larger boat, you know, you could put two in. And again, it doesn't draw enough power to even put a bump on your power bill over the year. So it's really a nice, simple thing to do, and we got those in stock.
And the other thing that folks, you know, you mentioned that the folks are going out and buying these older used boats. Once you pull the decks up, you'll notice that the fuel, like your fuel filler lines, a lot of those hose lines and hose clamps and whatnot are cracked. A lot of that stuff, especially on older boats, really, you got to take a long, hard look at it. One thing you guys have in there in Harbor Marina are rolls of every different size hose you could ever imagine, from fuel to fresh water to whatever hose you need. It's a good idea to pull up those deck plates and those inspection plates, any of that stuff, and start looking at your hose lines underneath the deck, your wash down pump, returns, any of that stuff, because I guarantee you probably got some cracks in it. We got a long winter coming here. It'd be a good idea to pull some of that stuff up and run down to Harbor Marine. I know you got a full supply of that stuff on the shelves there at Harbor, all those gas lines and freshwater lines and all that stuff, hose clamps.
One of the most important things for
this stuff, and boy, Rob, you really hit a big point there. You know, especially the fuel lines themselves are a huge deal. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have a boat that's, you know, got any time on it at all, you'll be surprised to get down to the bilge. Like you said, take that inspection cover up, and you're going to find, boy, those hoses don't look very good. Last thing you want is a crack in a fuel line down there. So easy deal, get the newer style hoses that are alcohol resistant, and, you know, it just brings the thing up to date. Again, it gives you that confidence that you don't have a problem when you're going to go out there or have any kind of an issue.
Yeah, and if you're resurrecting an old ride that has fuel sitting in those lines, I'm telling you what, the worst thing you can do to that engine, if you've just worked it over, is run that old crappy varnishy fuel into that line. So, you know, definitely fuel lines is a big deal. What were you going to say, Joey?
So, you know, a lot of folks, first-time boaters this summer, you know, they went out and they bought a boat, or they bought an older boat and they got it running, and they went out and had some success on the water. They need to know you can't just park that thing and leave it all winter. That's when things like the steering seize up.
Yep.
You got to winterize that boat. Try to get the fuel out of it. You know, run the fuel out of it. Make sure you go out and crank the wheel around every once in a while and get those juices flowing on the steering. Boats are a pain in the butt. You have to maintain them, or they become a hole where you dump your money at the beginning of the summer.
Hey, Lauren doesn't have a problem with
that. No, and look, they're in a great location. If you break down on the ramp, you can walk to Harbor Marine.
Lauren Bivens of Harbor Marine joining us this morning, and Lauren, we're going to get to the fuel system later on over the winter, but I don't want to talk about winterizing just yet. I mean, it's September, okay? But if guys are looking, back to the steering deal, about an upgrade, like, you know, we're seeing guys with bigger inboard outboards, or guys with twin outboards. What does SeaStar have with regard to a power steering system or an upgrade to somebody's existing hydraulic system that's working great?
Well, and thank you, Tom. That was a really great point. You know, SeaStar has created a whole series of different hydraulic kits, whether you have get the lower horsepower, or you want to get into the higher horsepower end or higher speed. They've got a kit for every system. Plus, if you really truly want that one finger steering system, they've got a power assist unit that you can put in there too, and just makes it, you know, effortless to steer. And again, like you said, Tom, it takes that off your mind, off your plate. You're just going to go out and enjoy your time fishing out there and not having an issue with that. So that, and they've got a kicker tie-in system on the C-Star stuff that, you know, just makes it a nice, easy, clean system to operate everything together. So it's simple, and they've Dometic's done a great job of putting together these kits, and we've got them all in stock.
And so just getting back to that real quick, you just said a mouthful, because a lot of guys have been trying to get the job done out trolling using a kicker-only autopilot. That's great. They help you out. But if you have both your engines or all three of your engines, whatever the case, turning in unison with that tie bar you just mentioned, you have a lot of passive rudder authority down there that helps your boat turn without adding throttle. When you add throttle, you change your troll speed. You change your troll speed, you change your line angles, you change your presentation, you change how high your gear is in the water column and everything else.
There's nothing like having all three of those motors turn at the same time.
And, yeah.
You have control over your boat. When you're just trying to control the boat off that kicker, you know, like a boat like your size, a 30-footer, it's not enough rudder down there. You got these two big, you see guys trolling with their big motors up. Yeah. And just running off that little one, and you just don't have control the way you do if you have three big rudders down there controlling the boat.
And now with today's integrated autopilots that are in your display, no matter what kind of electronics you have, there's integrated autopilots available by the system Lauren just described with the tie bar, tying those things together. Man, it just makes fishing so much easier. So Lauren, before we get you out of here, let's say somebody is done for the year. And they want to put away. Joey asked a couple questions about the fuel system. And with today's injector systems on a lot of different engines, is running that thing out of fuel the best way to go, or running a fuel stabilizer into the engine? What's your approach?
Well, I'd be running fuel stabilizers, and I would make, you know, probably one of the big critical things is make sure you change those filters. I mean, it's just such a big deal. And if you've got older lines in there, like Rob said, you know, let's get those changed out, and you know, there's things that get corroded in there, and you know, by keeping everything clean and fresh and so on, it's such a big deal. So I think, you know, the filtration is just a huge deal. If you don't have enough on there, boy, this is also a good time to – we've got kits for adding fuel filters to your system.
Let me grab onto that one just a second, because here's what I see in a lot of systems guys will put on. They'll put on one of those filter heads. They have a kicker. Or a main engine, right? And they'll take one filter head, and they'll branch it off. So one leg's going to the kicker, one leg's going to the main. That's a recipe for disaster, because Lauren, tell us why.
Because you know, you'll have one motor will be pulling fuel out, and guess what? It'll pull the fuel right out of the other motor. You go to try to start your main engine, and the kicker is drained everything out of that side of things. And then you're trying to get things started, and it's, you know, it's just a nightmare. So really having a separate fuel filter system for each engine is really a much safer and better system. And if you have some kind of issue out there, you can isolate it. And so it just, again, makes that a little bit of redundancy in there. Makes your life much easier and simpler, and it just you'll be able to enjoy boating.
And one thing I experienced with another outboard brand that I used to run way back when was I installed a system just like that and had a major engine problem, because the main engine was sucking, like you mentioned, the fuel out of the kicker, and then it was sucking air. It created a lean condition in that engine, elevated temperatures, and, man, you're shorting powerhead life if you do that. So, yeah, separate fuel systems. He's Lauren Bivens. Throughout the off-season, if you want to call it that, and I hate to call it that, but it is, we're going to be running the You Know What I Hate About My Boat series, and we'd love your input on this, too. If there's something that's bugging you about your boat, an upgrade, an issue, something, we can help you do better. You're going to be seeing a series of blogs and a series of guests, including frequently Lauren Bivens. Talk us through this. How to keep your boat and make an improvement on it throughout the season. Lauren, thank you very much for your time. Folks need to go to harbormarine.net or get down to the Everett Waterfront, check out Harbor Marine. Lauren, thank you for your time this morning. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Lauren.
Yeah,
Lauren,
see you, buddy. Super. Thanks a lot, guys, for having me on today. I appreciate it a lot.
See you, man.
All right, man. Talk to you soon. Take care. Coming up next, a critically acclaimed, award-winning Northwest Outdoor Report right here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
The Northwest Outdoor Report, also known as Redneck Sports Center, is brought to you by Truck Vault, the leader in secure vehicle storage.
Connor Martinez of Jones Sporting Goods in Everett says most of the good silver fishing this week has been happening on the rivers, as foul water has made the south the salt water pretty tough for most of the folks that have gone out there this week. Connor said Coe have been hitting Vibrex spinners on the lower Stilly, which has a daily limit of 2 silvers. The Cascade River off the upper Skagit has been hot for silvers headed back to the hatchery there. Connor said drift or float fishing eggs is the ticket up there. Most folks are having no problem getting their limit of 4 coho on the Cascade. Once the Skagit clears up after this big rain, Connor thinks it will fish great for silvers also.
More sturgeon days announced for the Columbia River. Oregon and Washington just announced 3 more sturgeon days on the lower Columbia from Bonneville Dam down to the power lines at Wana, upriver of Astoria. The lower Cowlitz is also open, but the Willamette remains closed. The sturgeon openers are today, Tuesday the 29th, and next Saturday, October 3rd. Sturgeon between 44 and 50 inches can be kept, and anglers are allowed one a day with an annual possession limit of 2 sturgeon.
1,144 anglers fished the Everett Coho Derby last weekend. A total of 480 silvers were caught in the Derby, and Adam Perez of Marysville was lucky enough to catch an 11.86-pound coho to take first place. He barely beat out Kevin LaChapelle of Mukilteo with an 11.52-pound coho, and Glenn Kalfas of Stanwood took third place with an 11.46-pound coho. Coben Chadwick took first place in the youth division with a 9.95-pound coho, and Caleb Darling took second in the youth division with a 9.5-pound coho. The Everett Coho Derby was the final derby in the Northwest Salmon Derby Series for 2020, and the derby boat will be given away at the culmination of the 2021 Salmon Derby Series.
A hunter was mauled and killed by a grizzly bear in Alaska last Sunday. The hunter and his partner were on a 10-day moose hunt in the Wrangell-St. Elias National Park near the Chisina River when the attack occurred. It's the first attack of its kind in the 13-million-acre Wrangell-St. Elias, and authorities aren't sure what spurred the mauling. The identity of the man is being withheld until an investigation is complete.
Hiker found dead on Mount Rainier. One hiker was rescued, another was found passed away on Mount Rainier this week. Authorities received a call Wednesday morning from a woman who said she and her hiking partner were lost at about 9,300 feet after spending the night at a higher elevation at Camp Muir. A rescue team found the woman being helped by some hikers at the top of the Skyline Trail, but she was without her hiking partner. He had become extremely disoriented and eventually became unresponsive on the mountain, so she had gone for help. Unfortunately, by the time rescue crews arrived, the 27-year-old man was deceased.
Guide Shelby Ross from PotholesFishing.com and the Duck Taxi says Potholes Reservoir is cranking out the walleye right now. Shelby had easy limits of walleye on the potholes in the middle of the week, and he said that it's simply full of fish right now. He says if you troll night crawlers right now, you'd better get a lot of them. And in addition to the walleye, he said there's no shortage of bluegill, perch, and crappie eating the night crawlers. On the duck front, Shelby says he's never seen so many local ducks on the lake. A bunch of teal just showed up from up north, and there's plenty of local ducks to be had for the youth hunt next weekend and the waterfowl opener on October 17th.
The next round of razor clam digs is tentatively scheduled for October 16th through the 21st on the coastal beaches of Washington. There's opportunity for razor clams at all 4 coastal beaches during this dig. WDFW will make an announcement a few days ahead of the dig, giving the go-ahead after testing shows the razor clams are safe to eat. In addition to the October days, WDFW has 26 more days of digging tentatively scheduled from late October through the month of December. With the closure of clamming last spring due to COVID, there is now an unprecedented number of razor clams on the Washington coast.
Upriver Brights hitting Vernita Reach on the Columbia. Guide Austin Moser, Austin's Northwest Adventure, has been catching some quality URBs this week at the Vernita Reach on the Columbia. He's been back trolling quick fish off the Cannon downriggers in the deep water to get those kings to bite. He says the average kings are running 10 to 25, but his guests have already caught 5 tyees, 5 over 30 pounds. Austin said there's around 110,000 kings stacked up in the stretch between McNary and Priest Rapids, with more on the way. He experienced excellent fishing to continue for Chinook until the Vernita Reach closes down on October 16th. Stay tuned. Austin's joining us in the next segment here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Pheasant release sites open up around the state today, and today is also the youth waterfowl hunt here on the west side of the mountains. Another youth waterfowl hunt day is set to take place next Saturday, October 3rd in eastern Washington, and hunters will also hit the woods for muzzleloader elk season from October 3rd through the 9th.
Today is the 27th National Public Lands Day in the U.S. COVID-19 has shifted nearly everyone's perspective, and that shift has included a massive increase in participation in outdoor activities. Camping equipment sales, for instance, are up 30% over last year. Paddle sports are up 50%. Cycling is up over 60%, and trail use across the nation is up 79% over last year. Many states are reporting massive increases in fishing and hunting license sales as well. With that in mind, today is a great day to pick up some litter on public land or simply just enjoy a day on our vast public lands here in Washington State.
This Redneck Sports Center has been brought to you by the great folks at Truck Vault in Cedro Woolley. Check out your next secure vehicle storage system at truckvault.com.
So interesting, Rob, point out and say that, hey, today is a great day to pick up some stuff outside. Plastics are becoming such a massive issue in our marine environment. It's estimated right now that for every pound of fish in the ocean, there's a third of a pound of plastic.
Which is insane.
Yeah, and that's so we're actually going to have somebody from Yamaha's Right Waters program on the show next week and talk about this, because some local efforts, too, are definitely going to be underway to address this.
I need to look into Marine Area 10, too. I mentioned earlier in the show that all of Puget Sound is going to shut down here, and there could be some opportunity in Marine Area 10 for, I think, Coho here in the coming couple of weeks, but I need to dig into that. Definitely Chinook is going to be closed here for the winter. No winter blackmouth fishing, but we got a bunch of texts here. Light me up about that earlier in the show, and I'll do some digging into that, see what I can find out. So.
Yeah, and my computer just crashed, and I got a copy of the regs somewhere around here. I'll pull into it. But basically, there's going to be a month in Area 10 for blackmouth. There's going to be, CQ is going to open up, I want to say, on February 1st, but that's kind of going to be it. I believe 13 stays open.
13 stays open all winter, yeah.
All winter. Yeah. But yeah, you got Area 10 through September and October. I'm going to have to look, but there's not going to be anything in November. So I know that for a fact. All right, so tell you what. Austin Mosier, I tell you what, this dude, such a kick to fish with. We got to spend some time with him, this year down at Buoy 10. He was with me up in Sitka up at fishbaronoff.com. If you want to get on some of the best action, you should get with Austin Mosier. Stay tuned for the next segment. Austin Mosier's Austin's Northwest Adventures, joining us next here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Get in, sit down, hold on, and listen up. You're in the RenaissanceMarineGroup.com's Wheelhouse, brought to you by Weldcraft, Duckworth, and Northwest Boats.
Welcome to the Wheelhouse here on 710 ESPN's The Outdoor Line. That's Joey Pyburn, Rob Ensley joining us as well, Matt Nelson, our Seattle studios. And on the phone, a guy I've had in the Wheelhouse a couple different times, and I always enjoyed it, Austin Mosier, Austin's Northwest Adventures, with the 9.9 Yamaha kicker in the background. What is going on, buddy?
Is that kind of loud? Sorry. How's it going, everybody? We're out here salmon fishing, and we're in the Hanford Reach, and we're having a good time here this morning. We got one in the box right now.
Oh, that didn't take long.
You've been catching pigs, dude.
I talked to you yesterday, whenever that was, Austin, and you've been running plugs off your Cannon downriggers in the Columbia River.
Yes, sir.
I think Tom Nelson, is that a Tom Nelson thing? Did he tell you to do that? Where'd you pull that little trick from, buddy?
Yeah, I've always done that.
Yeah.
Been doing that for years. It's all about what the current's doing and things like that. So when we're fishing, in these deep holes like this, it helps to be able to get your plugs down to the bottom. So right now I'm sitting in 60 feet of water and I got my plugs down like 10 feet. So it doesn't always work, but it's working for me right now, and that's what we're doing. So
gosh, yeah, you're running, sorry, Joe, you're running those plugs 60 feet off the downriggers, way out back behind those riggers. Tell me how you came to that conclusion, run those plugs so far back behind the riggers, buddy.
It was a lot of trial and error. Took me a lot of years to get this down. You know, there's a lot of current. You can have some tangle issues with your plug. If they're not tuned just perfectly, you'll have tangle issues. So all my plugs are at different lengths behind the ball. One's at 60. I got some other ones a little bit shorter than that. And that's how I keep from having tangle problems.
Are you wrapping those plugs with anything, Austin? Bait? Any type of bait on there?
Oh, yeah. I got these sardines the other day. They are awesome. They came from this guy named Joey. They're raised bait sardines. Best sardines I've ever used, man. Awesome. Good
stuff. Is that mostly what you use as sardines? You do anything else?
So I do use some tuna bellies. I got some of those from you. But my go-to is sardines. You can't hardly beat a nice piece of salted sardine on a plug. So oily. The fish love it. We're changing them out really quick. I go through a lot of them sardines because I change them out quite often. You know, I go 30 minutes and I'm changing that plug and putting a new one out. So the scent's important with the plugs.
Yeah, and that's kind of just that traditional, that sardine deal. So when you're running wrapped quickies that far behind the downrigger, how far do you run the downrigger down? Because those K-15s, K-14s, 16s, doesn't matter. They're going to dive beyond the depth of that downrigger ball. So how are you playing that? Where if you're running in a 30-foot slot, how far are the downriggers down, and what are you giving those plugs to dive?
About 10 feet. I usually try to keep my – two of my rods are within 10 feet of the bottom. The other ones are going to be suspended because I can't have them all down there, obviously, or I'm going to have some tangles. So I catch fish suspended, though. You know, I'm in that 50-foot hole, and I'll catch a fish at 25 feet on the rivet. It's a neat way to catch them. And as everybody knows, a plug bite is just awesome. And they just blow up on it, man. It's killer. So.
Well, they do. And the cool thing is, typically when a big Chinook grabs a plug, you want guys to just take it easy anyway, right? And just let them plug. But when you're fishing them on downriggers, the fact that they're pulling it out of the release, kind of, that's built into the presentation there. So are you slowly backing these down the creek? Are you holding in a current? How are you moving the boat in this scenario?
I'm kind of holding in the current, depending on what it's doing. It's pretty slow right now, so I'm backing up through the fish, and then I'll drive forward back through them, and then I'll back up again. so I just keep the gear right in front of them, and it's pretty awesome. I got some great electronics, and I can see where my stuff is down there, and it really helps out a lot. So, getting it off the downrigger, the fun part, you know, is just slamming that fish, you know, setting the hook two or three times, getting the slack out of the line, and then handing the rod off is awesome.
So you get the best part of it.
What kind of clips are you running? What releases are you
running? I run offshore red. Okay, red offshore clips.
Yep. And you stuff them in there pretty good.
The strongest. Yeah, I bury them all the way.
Nice. So this
like
fishery,
to set the hook.
This fishery is going through October 15th, and I pulled the dam counts last night. You still got 4,000 fish going over McNary every day. I mean, this thing's going to go strong right to the end, buddy. Don't you see that same thing happening?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's just going to get better and better and better. It's really just now starting to get good where I'm seeing consistent fish. You know, consistent limits with other people. And, you know, not everybody's limiting, but, you know, we're all getting some fish, and it's a lot of fun for guys to get their, get out here and get their last, salmon fix for the year. Cause as you know, there's no nookie like Chinookie.
So, hey, Austin, that fishery goes till October 15th, but, you are not going till October 15th. You have a couple killer tags in your pocket. What do you got coming up here on October 3rd?
October 3rd, I have a quality bull tag in the Clock'em unit for a muzzleloader. And I am super excited about it. I really just don't even want to be fishing right now. I want to be in the woods looking for elk right now, to tell you the truth. I shot my muzzleloader 2 days ago. I shot a 4-inch group at 100 yards. Really happy, excited about that. And I'm hoping to get on some big bulls. And then I got I got that quality deer tag for the Swakane unit coming up, and that's a rifle tag. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be good too. I'm blessed with good hunting this year, I hope.
So, yeah, man. And you kind of blowing it all out in one season with the elk hunt and the deer hunt, which
is
pretty rare.
Costing them some points right there. You're burning some points, Austin.
Costing them some days on the river, too.
I tell you what, Clock'em, though, there was a 400-plus-inch bull that came out of their muzzleloader a couple years ago. Who knows, man? You'll get a good one, but there's also a chance of something totally remarkable in there, too.
I do a bunch of shed hunting in there, so I've seen what's in there, and, man, there's some giant bulls.
What kind of muzzleloader are you shooting, buddy?
I have a Savage muzzleloader, and I have an Austin Halleck. So I'm planning on carrying two muzzleloaders so that I have a backup shot if I need it.
Okay. There's not going to be no reloading going on.
Is that considered a semi-automatic muzzleloader?
You got to tape them together. too.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I got my two muzzle loader endorsement. So.
There we go. There we go. Yeah, he's using some of his stretchy thread for wrapping quick fish to wrap those muzzle loaders together. I can see that right now. All right, Austin, enough of this hunting talk, dude. We gotta before we let you go, we need to talk a little bit about you and me being in Sitka, Alaska next year, fishbaronoff.com. What's the story?
Yeah, it's going to be great, man. We had such a good time there, and I talked to so many people that had went back after we left, and they just kicked butt up there. It was very good fishing. I know you stayed a lot longer than me, and I tell you what, you guys put in some big fish in that boat of yours. I'm excited to get back up there. Joel runs a great operation up there. Got quite a few guys going up this year, and we're going to have a good time again. So June's the month for me. Not everybody's there in June. August is coho fishing and just really good salmon fishing. And the halibut's exceptional up there. So I caught a 53-inch ling cod there last year. It's ridiculous.
two inches short of being able to keep that dinosaur. I mean, at 55, you can keep them again. There's kind of a reverse slot. Log on to fishbaronoff.com. It's a self-guided deal, and it's as cheap as you're ever going to do Southeast Alaska. So really, really good stuff, buddy. Well, Austin, keep in touch on your hunting progress this fall. And you need a new water pump in your 9.9 Yamaha. I can hear that right now.
Now would be the good time for a radio bite right now for a cell phone.
This would be good.
Radio bites would be good.
Come on, make it happen.
We're either looking for the radio bite or for a guide to start yelling at his dudes.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we're the next.
I almost want that more than a radio bite. I want a guide to just blow up and start screaming at his.
Real.
What are you doing?
All right, get it, buddy. Yeah. Enjoy
the ride. Awesome, Mosier. Talk to you soon, buddy. Go log on to Austin's NorthwestAdventures.com. He's a great stick. Super good dude to hang with, too. He's, a great
angler. He's a fun guy.
Definitely enjoy that. Coming up next, the hottest report we heard all week and techniques you need to succeed. It's RoyRobinsonChevy.com's Really? Where? And it's next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
No way.
You gotta be kidding me.
Really? Where?
It's coming back. The island of Tinny and the Lady.
Where'd you get him, man? No way. You gotta tell me. I'm not gonna tell anybody.
The ocean turning red.
Hey, man, can you tell me where you got him?
I'll never put on a life jacket again.
Welcome to RoyRobinsonChevy.com's
Really?
Where?
Where?
Roy Robinson Chevrolet RV will take you anywhere.
Really?
It's the all-new 2020 Chevy Silverado 2500 HD Crew Cab Diesel, the strongest, most capable Silverado effort. Check out the $3,750 cash allowance or pop over to Roy Robinson RV and find the best lineup of Class A's, Class B's, Class C's, travel trailers, fifth wheels, toy haulers, pop-ups, and a lot more. Breaking news, this just in, Marine Area 10 closes November 15th.
Bravo. I owe somebody a dollar. He just texted me in there. Thank you, y'all. If you ever run into me at the boat show, if we ever have another boat show again, I'll buy a coffee or something. Yeah. Sorry about that. But I tell you, what is open right now is potholes. Shelby was so excited yesterday when I talked to him. Shelby Ross over there, potholes fishing. He's just literally, they're just catching fish. He had his limited walleye the other day in like an hour trolling night crawlers. And then they proceeded to just catch the you know what out of bluegill, perch, crappie. I don't know how many worms he's burning through right now, Joe, but you got to be excited about that because he's burning through some bait over there. He said they had like somewhere between 40 and 60 other fish in the boat, you know, and he cleaned fish for an hour and a half when he got back. And the next day, the guests had him for 2 days. The next day, they were like, we got a lot of fish. Let's just catch some walleye and call it good, you know.
Yeah.
That's how many fish they're catching over there right now. And the weather's nice. I mean, the rest of this week's going to be sweet. Great time of year to be over there. This fall air is kind of settling a little bit on the east side there, and good time to be over on that side of the mountains. Salmon-wise, I mentioned this earlier in the show, the North Sound, a few of the North Sound rivers are kicking out some fish. The Upper Skagit, you know, the Cascade, of course, big hatchery up there. A bunch of fish in the Cascade. That's an egg program, Joe, which you have to be happy about.
Guys, yeah, we're cranking through some eggs for sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
For sure.
Yeah, I've had some buddies up there on the Cascade. They were up there yesterday, and they were cranking on them.
Yeah, get your four silvers and get out of there. But yep. Tell you what, it's good. The Skagit's going to be good too once it drops in. The lower Stilly, guys are throwing Vibraxes down there and getting some silvers down there. It's blown out right now, but it'll drop in again this week and be fishable. Nice thing about these coho in the rivers, even if it's muddy, if you see them rolling in a back eddy or something, you can still get them to bite with spinners, even twitching jigs. With an 18-count Sam shrimp tail on it. Of course, you can't use bait and Stilly, but in areas where you can, that's a great technique. The coastal rivers as well. The ones that are open right now for salmon, this week's going to be hammer time out on the coast. If you got a river in particular that you like to fish out there, the Hump, up in the Forks area, and it's actually open for salmon right now, this is going to be prime time this week after this big rain. So that's going on. A little bit of opportunity left in the salt this week, but... who knows how that's going to go with this big rain. I think a lot of the fish have probably shot up into the rivers. We got youth duck hunt today on the west side. Next Saturday is the youth duck hunt on the east side. And then the pheasant release site's open today as well. So,
yeah, Tom and I are going to go chase some pheasant around tomorrow.
We're going to go do it in the morning. Don't tell Bailey because she won't sleep tonight. She'll be bouncing all over the place, I'm telling you.
And then, so, Joe, you and I... in the mail yesterday, I got a couple of boxes that showed up. One of them was a pretty good sized box with this new Hilleberg Kitem Vort 4 GT10 in it. I'm going to set that up in the backyard today. Petra and Big John over there said, we want you to practice setting this thing up before you get over to Montana. Joe, you and I checked it out at Hilleberg over in Redmond. It was, what was that, last spring or something? And we're like, this is the one we want.
Yeah, they're cool tens.
Killer. Yeah.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to jump in Mark Boardman's on a bear hunt up here, and he had a two-man. And, you know, they look like they might be a little complicated to set up, but, man, it's super just easy. A series of hoops. They boom, it pops right up. And with that double wall, I was surprised how warm it stayed. We had a freezing night up there, and it was toasty in that thing, man. It actually held the heat. And that's kind of their deal. It's like all these guys are going to stoves in their tents, and you don't really need it with the Hilleberg.
Yeah, and that's what they told us. You know, we were thinking the same thing, especially in Montana. We were thinking we need some kind of a stove with a little tent, pipe stove going out the top, whatever. And they're like, nah, don't worry about it. I mean, these are expedition tents that they use in Antarctica and in the Arctic and all over the place. And they sleep in these things down to 20 below, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
So, whiz.
Yeah, that's, I know.
Yeah,
so.
I just want to mention Salmon for Soldiers is going to be picking up a load of fish up at the Marble Mount Hatchery. They're plugged up there with coho. They're going to pick up a couple truckloads. That's September 18th on Monday.
Yeah, 28th.
They're going to bring them back down to the Marysville Everett area and distribute them to vets and active military guys. If you want to be part of that, if you want to get some fish, www.salmonforsoldiers.com. Send them an email, get on the list, and talk to Randy and go get yourself some fish.
Yeah, if you're active military or vet, yeah, definitely jump on the salmonforsoldiers.com. Real bummer we couldn't conduct the event this year. First time in a decade that hasn't gone off, but high hopes for next year. No question about it. Like you mentioned, Robbo, this will be the last week in Marine Area 9 for coho. It's I tell you what, you said it too. The cricks are punched right now. I drove over the Stilly and I spent a bunch of time on the Skagit yesterday. And look, you got to help in the studio. I spent a bunch of time on the Skagit yesterday. And the interesting thing about our larger streams in particular is, as it quits raining, which it already has, you're gonna see things dry up, and the smaller creeks will drop and clear before that main stem does. And so if you're in the middle of a stream, you know, a larger river, and there's a creek dumping into it, that's where some of those coho are going to hang out, because the water is going to be clearer, easier for them to breathe, but also more importantly, easier for them to find your gear. And that's a great twitch and jig scenario at that point too.
Yeah, and the nice thing too about, I mentioned this earlier in the show, the spinners, they throw out a ton of noise. So if you do have some off-colored water and you got coho rolling in these froggy back eddies, you can throw, I used to throw number 5 Vibraxes in there and just rope cohos in those back eddies and really dirty water. I mean, you couldn't see but maybe, you know, a foot at the most. And a good time to get out there when a lot of folks think it's blown and there's nothing going on. You can actually get out there and catch some cohos this time of year.
Oh yeah.
And get them going.
No doubt. A couple questions on the text here real quick. 710, 710, powered by Yamaha Outboards. Robbo, what kind of tent was that?
Hilleberg? That was a Hilleberg Kitem 4 okay. GT. It's a four-person tent. I think it's big enough, actually, for Joe and I to put a couple of small cots in for our Montana deal. But it's, nice. It's perfect. It's got two big vestibules on each end. We basically each have our own entrance. We can throw our boots and our packs and all that stuff in the vestibule on each end. And a pretty sweet setup. So check it out, Hilleberg.com. It's that Kitem, K-A-I-T-U-M, 4GT.
They make some killer solo stuff, too. They got some great tents.
From the 425, is hydraulic steering available for an outboard jet boat at Harbor Marine? Yeah, absolutely. You can switch that snake over to hydraulic. Go to harbormarine.net on that. Hey, Robbo, from the 360, what color Vibrex spinner in dirty water?
Really any color but your chartreuses.
Chartreuse,
You know, and actually Vibraxes, I would throw the big heavy Mepses too. Meps made a really good one. It was like a rainbow color. Had bright pink and chartreuse and some really bright greens in it and stuff, and they were really heavy. And I would throw those quite a bit too in dirty water. But and make sure they're big, fives and sixes. They throw off a lot of noise, reel them really slow, and
big
they
thumpers.
Will blow it up right at the rod tip in that dirty water. Yeah,
that is a gas too. I mean, you know, and if you see somebody in their boat and they're swinging their rod way over their head, they just had a follow and they couldn't keep it in the water long enough to do that. And I'm hearing some rumblings that we may hear something in the near future about a winter crab season coming out shortly. So stay tuned for that as well. If you missed any of the show, make sure you download that 710 ESPN app. Go to theoutdoorline.com for individual hour podcasts, mynorthwest.com for full hours as well. We're also on iTunes. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes over there as well. Follow at Joey Pyburn, at Rob Ensley. You can follow us on social media at The Outdoor Line, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. For Matt Nelson, back in our Seattle studios, for Rob and Ava Ensley,
their
co-host. Got his own
co-host right there. Yeah. And Joey Pyburn, I'm Tom Nelson. This has been The Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN, Seattle.